We're going to pause here. We have another guest coming up and being representing a very, very exciting, I like to call it like champagne and bubbles, effervescent, Emily Branham, director of Being BB, will be with us. Max, is that clip available?
I'm sorry, I was busy answering the phone. Which clip?
Being BB. Has Emily tuned in?
Yes, I believe she is here, and we have the clip.
Okay, let's do the clip first, and then we'll begin our conversation.
I'm just a male who can perform the duties which are generally allocated for the female sex.
Zahara Benet is with us, and you know she won the first RuPaul's Drag Race.
It was just God's gift to the world.
God's gift to us first, then the world.
Yeah.
I traveled many, many miles away from my family and friends to pursue a dream, and I will not stop until I reach the end of my journey.
Isn't it so interesting, like, how beautiful I looked back then, and then now even, like, way more beautiful? No, I'm joking.
Emily?
Yes, hello.
You heard me say bubbly. You heard me say effervescent. How else can I describe? And I have to make it sound big and bubbly. I'm so happy that you've joined us. And certainly the spirit of the star will be present, and we will definitely keep them where they belong, in the stratosphere of good things. So thank you so much for joining us here on WBAI.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to speak with you.
So, first time documentary.
My first feature.
So we'll get those out the way. First time doc, was that your choice of because there are many forms in which visual media can be shown, you know, narratives, experimental, feature,
yeah.
And you chose doc. Why?
Yeah, so when I went to film school, I feel like, you know, my first love that I found there was music videos. I just felt like there was unlimited potential in combining music and images and dance and light. And yeah, it could go experimental, it could go narrative, and like at the heart of it would be music. Like I've always just been such a fan of music, and it's been so important to my life. And so... But when I first met Phoebe and stumbled upon her story, my little sister was dancing backup for Phoebe in Minneapolis, where we grew up, for a local pageant. And I was in New York working on music videos and commercials. And as soon as she mentioned Phoebe and told me a little bit about her, that she was originally from Cameroon, that she was like this promising amateur on the Minneapolis scene coming up and on her way to her first national pageant, I was like, wow, like it just hit me kind of immediately, like that sounds like an amazing short film. Like I feel like that wants to be a documentary. And then I went out and saw BB perform live and was completely blown away and was like, oh yes, this is a person that has something very special going on. And unfortunately, BB was on board with having me come to Dallas for the first national pageant. And, you know, there was just a lot more there, the more we got to know each other. And fortunately, she was open to me following her around a little bit longer. And, you know, 3 years after that, she was cast on the very first season of this new reality show, RuPaul's Drag Race, and she won. And that was in 2009. And I thought, oh, great, the movie's done. That's a great ending. And as soon as we got in the editing room, I realized, oh, wait, no, it's more of an inciting incident, actually. And... yeah, fortunately, BB was open to letting me follow around a little longer and seeing what we could make together.
Well, you've made the paths and the footprints and schlepping around all the equipment that has to be gathered to make it happen. When you hear a story, of course, of the life of Evie Zahara Bennett. You know there's much more to it. Coming from West Africa and perhaps, or I shouldn't say perhaps, but the something that one can depend on is non-acceptance when you choose a particular way that you choose to live and love. And how were you comfortable dealing with those emotive issues that would come up when a story that's in the documentary framework being told?
Yeah, I mean, you're completely right. And that was one of the first things that I learned when I researched a little bit about Cameroon was that it was not a hospitable place for same-sex intimacy or even for violating gender norms at all, like you do in drag. You know, from the very beginning, Bibi was really consistent in separating drag from sexuality and separating the career from his identity in terms of gender identity, sexual orientation. He really kept that separate, and he was also really consistent in just refusing to put any kind of labels on his gender identity or sexual orientation. And, you know, this was his career, this was his passion, this was his purpose that he was really, really good at and making a good living doing. And he just felt, you know, he was doing what an African firstborn male is supposed to do when, you know, his parents send him to the U.S. He was just doing it in a slightly unconventional way, but he was making a living. He was supporting his siblings. He was sending money back home. Like, he was doing what he needed to do. He just, you know, he didn't follow the conventional path that they all expected, especially being a really academic family themselves. So it was, you know, it was really interesting to navigate. And I feel like from the very beginning, Bibi surprised me and didn't always give back what I was expecting in a lot of ways, which just made me want to understand more why Bibi is the way Bibi is. And, you know, it took 15 years to get to the heart of that. And I feel like we come at it in a variety of different ways. And it's a more deep portrait because of that.
What would you say enabled you to continue pressing on and also jumping into the now where one would think that the times that we're living in would enable folks to have a broader view of those who choose and make the choices that they do, but yet there are signs all around us that non-acceptance that I mentioned earlier is still ever present. And were there times when you were having to work through that, you know, in terms of following the career of Bibi?
Yeah, I think what was interesting and hard to sort of get at was where Bibi was at with it, you know? Like, Bibi was a person who always put on an incredibly brave, strong, upbeat face at every step. And he was an incredibly accomplished, capable, self-confident human being at every step of his career, even in the sort of like fallow period that we follow in like 2014, 2015, when he was in New York and, you know, really kind of stuck in his career. There were like 100 Drag Race girls that had now been on the show who were all competing for the same gigs. And, you know, she was sort of, her 15 minutes were starting to evaporate and she was, you know, probably at her lowest point. Even then, the amount of sort of strength and self-confidence and almost this like impenetrable shell of confidence was an interesting challenge as a documentary filmmaker to try to grapple with because, you know, on the one hand, I knew from filming with him for so long and being, you know, good friends with him at this point that was one of his coping mechanisms that he developed in childhood was wherever he went, he made himself the star, as he says in the documentary, like even growing up as a child, and because he felt that being the star protects you. And so anytime he was made to feel different, he had a way of sort of like using his charisma to make everybody fall in love with him and support him more. So it was really interesting because Bibi really deflects negativity and any kind of, you know, challenge that the way he's living, the way he's making his way in the world with his career is anything but the right thing to do and the thing that everybody else should get on board with and celebrate. It's pretty incredible, honestly. It's really empowering to watch.
to affirm some of that, there have been numerous awards and other forms of recognition bestowed and referencing the work. So that is certainly a way that the creativity speaks for itself, you know, when the accolades pour in. So are there a few in particular that you're real proud of? I did note that the documentary did screen in 2021 at Tribeca, and it yeah. will have accessibility as part of Fuse, a premiere coming up on the 7th and June 21st, and also connections to Out TV and other streaming platforms. So the awards and the accolades, what did that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, we have been so fortunate to have won a few awards on our festival tour. We premiered at Tribeca, like you said, about a year ago, coming up on our year anniversary with the festival kicking off here again soon. Bibi's actually performing at this year's Tribeca as well on the 15th. And that's just such a beautiful thing to be doing all at once, is celebrating the rollout of our film on iTunes on the 7th, which you can pre-order now. And then, you know, our broadcast premiere in the U.S. on the 21st, like you said, on Fuse. And then internationally, the partners like Out TV in Canada, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, et cetera. But in terms of awards, honestly, the highest honors I feel like we could have received were given to us in our hometown of Minneapolis this past fall. We were closing night of the Sound Unseen Music and Film Festival. And
wow.
That's just a wonderful festival. And we won Best Documentary there and got to play to a sold-out house at the Walker Art Center, which is, you know, a wonderful art museum that I grew up going to. And we were, you know, it was a sold-out house full of Bibi's extended family and drag family. And, you know, everyone I've known since I was a kid, too, kind of came and supported us. And so to win there in that room. And the same night, the mayor of Minneapolis named that day Bibi Zahara B'nai Day for the city of Minneapolis.
What?
Like, Bibi got an award. The film got an award. It was a wonderful, magical day.
Well, that definitely means that you're awarded as well. I want to thank you so much, and so glad to hear that Bibi will be doing her thing in New York as well.
Yeah.
And I really have to give a special thanks to Brian Gelden.
We love Brian Gelden.
Always being so supportive. So definitely keep my eyes peeled. And thank you so much and congratulations. And we're going to close out with a video entitled Awakened Dawn by 11 Films. It has everything to do with the missteps that are happening right now. So, Max, if you can pull that up. Titled This Video Will Change You, and has a couple of bleeps in it, but it's a great message. So thank you all so much. Thank you for bearing with a few snafus. One of those utilities caused a few of the missteps. I'm Malika Lee Whitney for Untitled. Max, you ready?
I'm done, okay? I'm done. I've had it. They failed our kids again. You know, how many more times?
I'd hoped when I became president I would not have to do this again. To lose a child is like having a piece of your soul ripped away.
Night is finally fading.
Every time I think about those kids,
once again,
it gets me mad.
There's a hollowness in your chest. You feel like you're being sucked into it.
How am I going to plan a funeral? What kind of casket? I have to write a eulogy. All I did was send them to school.
This time.
90% of us are living under the tyranny of 10%.
Sit down. You're out of line.
They seem angrier at Beto O'Rourke than they were at the massacre of 19 children and 2 fourth grade teachers.
And I'm trying to figure out at what point in time this became so normalized.
The AR-15 shreds the human body. Just think about that. Think about
what that would do to a little 10-year-old body.
What in God's name do you need a solvent for except to kill someone?
And you read their age?
10.
I have a fourth grader, and she put her hands in her friend's blood and then smeared it, she said, all over her body. She wanted to look like she was dead.
What are we doing?
And we're all hiding behind a stage.
What are we doing?
He said bro. Red flag.
Why only in America? It is just an American problem, sir.
America needs us to scream for them right now!
People are getting shot all around me.
When are we gonna do something?
Yeah, I was bullied in school, too. I never shot up my classmates. Next excuse.
So honestly, to hell with anybody who says don't politicize this.
Can we awaken?
This is about semi-automatic weapons and military weapons that are killing our children in school.
Now, this mama will not take the stage, but I will be in conversation with Harlem Stage. Hello, everyone. This is Mama Soul. Myself and the Law will have a wonderful guest this Friday on the Harlem Connection to Harlem Stage, the one and only Pat Cruz, artistic director and CEO of Harlem Stage. And we're talking all things about the wonderful venue, as well as we may have a special guest. So join us this Friday, 10 p.m. right here on WBAI, the Harlem Connection to Harlem Stage. Let's go.
The value of this radio station in a time like this cannot be overstated. Our progressive programming, covering arts and culture, public affairs, social and political issues, means so much to many. And that includes you, right? Support WBAI to ensure our impact and continue.